We gather to share our faith in the spirit of freedom, our doubts in the spirit of honesty. We gather to focus our love in prayer, to send it to those who suffer and grieve, in our own community and in the wider world. We gather to strengthen the good that is in us, that goodness may be stronger on the earth. We gather to worship. Our chalice lighting words this week are by Julie Needham. We gather together, and in lighting our chalice, we witness a flame of hope. Whatever has been our personal pathway here today, and wherever it takes us afterwards, whatever our beliefs, religious heritage, faith, certainty, and doubt, we are all sisters and brothers in common humanity. We join in this community, seeking the best way in which we can live our lives. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away and the clouds of war and climate change overshadow us. May we keep in touch however we can and help each other however we may. May we remember that caution is still needed, that close contact is still unwise. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, victims of violence and war, suffering in any way. Amen. Our first reading is the first half of a poem by the German poet and playwright Bertolt Brecht called In Praise of Doubt. Praised be doubt. I advise you to greet cheerfully and with respect the man who tests your word like a bad penny. I'd like you to be wise and not to give your word with too much assurance. Read history and see the headlong flight of invincible armies. Wherever you look, impregnable strongholds collapse. And even if the armada was innumerable as it left port, the returning ships could be numbered. Thus, one day, a man stood on the unattainable summit, and a ship reached the end of the endless sea. Oh, beautiful the shaking of heads over the indisputable truth! O brave, the doctor's cure of the incurable patient. But the most beautiful of all doubts is when the downtrodden and despondent raise their heads and stop believing in the strength of their oppressors. I invite you to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading is the second part of Bertolt Brecht's poem, In Praise of Doubt. There are the thoughtless who never doubt. Their digestion is splendid. Their judgment is infallible. They don't believe in the facts. They believe only in themselves. When it comes to the point, the facts must go by the board. Their patience with themselves is boundless. To arguments they listen with the ear of a police spy. The thoughtless who never doubt meet the thoughtful who never act. They doubt not in order to come to a decision, but to avoid a decision. Their heads they use only for shaking. With anxious faces they warn the crews of sinking ships that water is dangerous. Beneath the murderous axe they ask themselves if he isn't human too. Murmuring something about the situation not yet being clarified, they go to bed. Their only action is to vacillate. Their favourite phrase is, not yet ripe for discussion. Therefore, if you praise doubt, do not praise the doubt which is a form of despair. What use is the ability to doubt to a man who can't make up his mind? He who is content with too few reasons may act wrongly, but he who needs too many remains inactive under danger. You are a leader of men. Do not forget that you are that because you doubted other leaders. So allow the leader their right to doubt. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Thou who art the heart of being, we come together but often feel alone. We come for fellowship, but we hold back. We are certain in our uncertainty. We are sure of ourselves in our utter doubt. We are full of answers, but not to our real questions. We are wounded, but afraid of the health that is in us, frightened of what we must do to become healthy. We come too broken, too hurt, and too masked, even to know our own hurt and fear. We come as landlords who do not want to pay for the upkeep, as tenants who do not want to pay the rent, as heirs who do not want to be grateful. Take all our contradictions and weave of us a whole, even despite ourselves. Thou creative power, whom we know but deny, whose we always are, even in our denial, Thou. Amen. Our final reading is called Cherish Your Doubts by Robert T. Weston. Cherish your doubts, for doubt is the attendant of truth. Doubt is the key to the door of knowledge. It is the servant of discovery. A belief which may not be questioned binds us to error, for there is incompleteness and imperfection in every belief. Doubt is the touchstone of truth. It is an acid which eats away the false. Let no one fear for the truth, that doubt may consume it. For doubt is the testing of belief. The truth stands boldly and unafraid. It is not shaken by the testing. For truth, if it be truth, arises from each testing stronger, more secure. Those that would silence doubt are filled with fear. Their houses are built on shifting sands. But those who fear not doubt and know its use are founded on rock. They shall walk in the light of growing knowledge. The work of their hands shall endure. Therefore let us not fear doubt, but let us rejoice in its help. It is to the wise as a staff to the blind. Doubt is the attendant of truth. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection, to find a position in which it is comfortable for you to sit, so that you are able to sense the presence of the Spirit among us and between us, across the miles and across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. I dwell in possibility, a fairer house than prose. Emily Dickinson. It is the fool, the psalmist writes, who hath said in his heart, there is no God, and closed his mind to possibility. Spare us from the arrogance of thinking we know all there is to know about God. All there is to know about everything. Spare us from the dogmatic certainties of atheism and fundamentalism, all authoritarian ideologies, both secular and religious. May we always be open to possibility, never insulating ourselves within walls of closed-minded certainty, never hedging in the great mystery within which we dwell, never mistaking the words we use for the realities they conceal, never confusing the prose of philosophy with the poetry of faith. Let us ponder these things in the silence. Whatever we may believe, whatever our minds tell us is true, there is always the possibility that we may be wrong, and we would be fools to think otherwise. May we bear this in mind in the days and weeks to come. Amen. Let us have some music. We live in a very strange world. The British mathematician and philosopher Bertrand Russell once wrote, "In all affairs, it's a healthy thing now and then to hang a question mark on the things you have long taken for granted." I wholeheartedly agree. But in our world today, in both politics and mainstream religion, it seems to be certainty that is prized. To doubt or question is seen as somehow bad or incorrect. I find this quite ironic, particularly in the religious sphere. Many mainstream religions, in both Christianity and, for example, Islam, insist that their followers believe X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, they are not deemed to be proper Christians / Muslims / fill in the blank yourself. The reason why I find it odd is that the classic definition of faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, to quote the Epistle to the Hebrews. Frederick Buechner writes, "Faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. A journey without maps." And Paul Tillich said that doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It's an element of faith. We can never prove that God exists or doesn't exist, but we can have faith that he or she or it does, and live our lives as though we believed it, which includes a healthy dollop of doubt. Not taking anything for granted, not accepting anything without questioning it first. So today, I'm going to advocate that we should cherish our doubts, as Robert Weston advises, and keep asking questions, for this is how we grow and mature in faith. Some of you will know that although I am a birthright Unitarian on my father's side, I did not attend a Unitarian church in my childhood. It was not until my late teens that I discovered Unitarianism, having examined the beliefs and creeds of mainstream Christianity and been unable to accept them unquestioningly. Discovering Unitarianism was like coming home. I realised that this was where I belonged. A place in which my questions and doubts could be answered, or if not answered, wholeheartedly accepted. It was a wonderful feeling, and I still appreciate how lucky I am to have found this denomination of ours. And yet, it is not an easy way to live. If you want answers, fair and square, set down in black and white with no contradictions, Unitarianism is not the place for you. Some people may find the lack of a creed, a denomination-wide accepted set of beliefs, daunting. Not me. I love the fact that Unitarians do not claim to have all the answers. Every Unitarian I've ever known has been a spiritual seeker, just like me. We are all on the same journey. Seekers and sharers, fellow pilgrims on the path. to quote Cliff Reid. Outsiders may find it difficult to understand how the denomination holds together, placing as it does so much importance on the freedom of individual belief based on reason and conscience. Cliff Reid explains this in Unitarian What's That? He says, "The Unitarian answer is that shared values and a shared religious approach are a surer basis for unity than theological propositions. Because no human being and no human institution can have a monopoly on truth, it is safer to admit that from the outset. The values underpinning the Unitarian movement have to do with mutual caring and mutual respect. They involve a readiness to extend to each other a positive, involved, and constructive tolerance. They are the values of a community that is open to truth from many sources. A community of the spirit that cherishes reason and acknowledges honest doubt. A community where the only theological test is that required by one's own conscience." Another way of putting it is to say that we all have the same attitude to religion and spirituality. All of us believe profoundly in the necessity of personal freedom of religious belief, the freedom to grow and to act in accordance with our beliefs, to work out our own answers, to be able to share our doubts and questions. Forrest Church, late minister of All Souls Unitarian Church in New York City, summarizes it very neatly in his book, Born Again Unitarian Universalism. "We value one another's thinking. We respect one another's search. We honour it even when it differs from our own. We resist imposing our perception of truth upon one another. Embracing a kind of theological pluralism, we affirm the human importance of our joint quest for meaning in life, without insisting upon the ultimacy of any single set of theological criteria. At our best, we move to a fundamental trust in our own and one another's inherent ability to make life meaningful. We share a devotion to spiritual freedom and find that the insights of others can enrich our own beliefs. What could be better?" We Unitarians have always been in the habit of questioning beliefs and cherishing doubts. I would guess that many of us came to Unitarianism exactly by that path, by starting to question some of the beliefs that we grew up with. In my case, I realised that I could not accept the unique divinity of Jesus as the unique Son of God, and also struggled with the idea that his death on the cross somehow put me back into right relationship with God. When my father gave me Alfred Hall's Beliefs of a Unitarian to read, it was such a relief to learn about a denomination that holds faith and doubt in reverent balance, to quote Unitarian Universalist Minister Jan Carlson Ball. What does holding faith and doubt in reverent balance mean? I believe it is a very delicate balancing act, which certainly needs to be undertaken with reverence. It means actively searching for and working out what gives your life meaning, putting your whole heart and mind and soul into it. And yet at the same time, totally respecting the right of every other member of your Unitarian community to disagree with you, which can be a very tough call sometimes, because it is only human nature to feel passionately about religious and spiritual matters, about things that touch us deeply. And when we feel passionately about something, it can be difficult to remember that our fellow Unitarians are absolutely free to disagree with us, and that it is our job as Unitarians, as folk who are aiming to live Unitarianly, to use Michael Dadson's wonderful phrase, to not only tolerate their different views, but also to wholeheartedly accept and cherish them, and to not feel aggrieved because Reverend X or Mrs. Y has written something on Facebook with which we disagree. Holding faith and doubt in reverent balance also means being open to new ideas from wherever they come. Unitarianism at its best is a wonderfully open way of approaching life and religion, based on an appeal to reason, conscience, and your own life experience. And it is an ongoing process. You don't just experience a one-off conversion and then rest on those fixed beliefs for the rest of your life. Every Unitarian has a duty to approach all new ideas and concepts reverently and critically, and take from them what speaks to our own reason and conscience, and what makes sense in the context of our own life experience, in order to live out our lives in the best and truest way we can. The interplay of individuals' beliefs should be one of the great strengths of a Unitarian congregation. The bouncing of ideas off each other means that we can never be complacent about what we believe. It is so stimulating to belong to such a congregation, but it can be very hard work. Nothing is set in stone, and each individual is responsible for keeping their mind open to new ideas, so that our faith can grow. As Robert T. Weston wrote, "Doubt is the key to the door of knowledge. It is the servant of discovery. Doubt is the testing of belief." One of the most oft quoted Unitarian aphorisms is, we need not think alike to love alike, by our Transylvanian founding father Francis David. Our fierce defence of freedom of belief within the denomination and in the wider world boils down to our belief in this one phrase, we need not think alike to love alike. And this inevitably includes holding space for doubts and questions. for us, being Unitarian means having the freedom to believe what we will, so long as it is consonant with our reason and conscience, and doesn't lead to harming anyone else, whilst simultaneously being a member of a religious or spiritual community whose members share the attitude that we are all on a spiritual journey together. We come together in community, providing a safe and sacred space in which all can explore what gives our lives depth and meaning. For some, this may involve a belief in a divine presence, which they may call God. For some, it may be more of an internal process, or a faith in humankind, or a reverence for the natural world. But the important thing is that we are united in our diversity, united in the mutual provision of this safe and sacred space, in which we may explore our diverse beliefs and faiths, knowing that our doubts and questions and beliefs will be held and respected, and that we will be welcomed just the way we are. And that is precious. So let us cherish our doubts, dwell in possibility, as Cliff Reid suggested in our time of stillness and reflection, and support each other on our spiritual and religious journeys as we explore what gives our lives meaning. It is a both courageous and satisfying way to live. I leave you with the words of American writer and theologian Frederick Buechner. Whether your faith is that there is a God or that there is not a God, if you don't have any doubts, you are either kidding yourself or asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. Our closing words today are by Cliff Reid. God of our hearts, bless us as we part. Be with us as we face the quandaries, fears, and puzzles of the coming days. Send your peace among us and through all our troubled world. Amen. Let's finish with some music.